What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to Hattrick City. It's been a little while, so I want to put a quick disclaimer here. We're here with Matt in the studio
disclaimer.
As well. Yeah, quick disclaimer about the long pause of everything. We'll call it that for now. As many of you know, I took a full-time position with the Hattricks to oversee their NEHL and NA3HL clubs, which when I took that spot in February, there was just a lot that had to be done, and I really wanted to focus on it because we were in the middle of, you know, the season still. So a lot of articles to write, a lot of social media to get covered. Planned a whole theme night, Trashers Night. If you came down, thanks for coming by. If you bid on a jersey, thank you for bidding. Essentially, that happened. Matt, I know you had some life updates happen in that time as well, if you want to share them.
I really don't want to, but yeah.
I was saying more like, you know, you became an adjunct here,
Is
pretty neat.
Well, when was our last episode?
What was it? It was February.
Well, so I was teaching
something.
Then. I've been teaching at WestCon in the Department of Creative Writing. I've been a little busy here. Made some moves. But at the moment, I am around, and I'll be continuing to do activities about.
That's what we'd love to hear. We're definitely going to try and get this ramped back up for playoffs. So NEHL is done for the season. Obviously, there's still stuff that has to be posted, camps that are going to happen, so I'll still be working on that, but I don't have to be as involved at the moment. So hopefully within the next few weeks, we'll get a few guys in here for pre-playoffs, during playoffs, and hopefully have another run like last year. But without further ado, here's our interview with defenseman Josh LaBelle.
Welcome to Hattrick City on WXCI 91.7, Danbury's only all-hockey radio show.
I know that some in our audience don't know the finer points of hockey.
You want me to dummy you again?
Hattricks, baby!
Woo-hoo! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Hattrick City. I'm your host, DJ Patty Cake. As always, joined by DJ Uncle Matt here in the studio. Today we got Josh LaBelle with us. Josh, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Of course. Glad to have you on the show, finally. You know, obviously, first thing, I feel it's kind of your signature clothing item, that Raptors hat. Tell us about it. Tell us about how you got into the Raptors, your hometown a little bit.
I actually got it for Secret Santa back home before I got down here. A nice gift, but honestly, like, I just kind of rep any Toronto team. Like, the Leafs are my team.
Wow.
Like, the Raptors, MLS, honestly, I don't really watch. Like, TFC, I know I'm wearing the hoodie, but
I don't really watch more.
I'm just like a Drake, like OVO kind of guy. I like Drake music. Yeah, I don't know, I mean, I just like sports, I guess.
I feel that.
Josh LaBelle's part of a group of kind of players that have now come through here that were like one of the bad guys on the other teams through the years here in Danbury. You were with Watertown when they won that championship a couple of years back, with pretty much a SPHL lineup up and down the roster. Tell us, you know, what did you think? What was the first thing that came to your head when you realized, okay, I'm going to Danbury now?
Holy shit. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a different aspect and, like, different way of life, like, when you're on this side of it. When you're an away team, obviously, like, you want to kind of eliminate the crowd as much as you can, because Section 102 definitely plays a factor in what goes on because they're right behind your bench. But, I mean, my first impression when I got down here is, let's, like, just get it going. Like, obviously, I joined halfway through the year. Just want to fit in, like, get along with all the guys and win some games.
Tell us, so are you from Toronto proper? Where are you from?
So I'm from Mississauga. Mm-hmm. It's like 20 minutes outside of Toronto, but if I say Mississauga, people down here look at me like I have three eyes.
One of the six, right? Mississauga.
Yeah. It's just beside, it's like GTA, like general Toronto area. So yeah, it's just like a bunch of like little, not really little, it's like a million people there, but smaller spots on the outside of Toronto.
Take us through, you know, you have a pretty interesting resume, because I think in this league, and don't get me wrong, I don't know everything, but I think in this league, a lot of the guys kind of shuffle through a few junior leagues and then end up in the Greater Metro Hockey League. It seems like you played there for a very long time.
Like 5 years.
122 games and 144 points.
Yeah, not bad, I guess. Just a bit above average, I'd like to say. Just joking around there. honestly, like, I was in grade 11. I was playing, like, I played AAA for a few games. And I went down to AA. I just had a lot more friends down there, honestly. And I just went to, like, some random showcase. A guy that came to one of my games and, like, talked to my mom and was like, hey, like, your son could play junior hockey if you wanted them to. Come out to my showcase for March break. He won't be in school kind of thing. So I did that. And I guess a coach from one of the junior teams was there from the GMHL, Dane O'Neill. And he was like, we'd like to have you next year. Like, I know it's like a bit of a commute. It's about an hour from my place. And I was still in high school at the time. And we practiced at 3 o'clock every day. So obviously if you're in high school, that's kind of tough. Like with your fourth period there usually is, or I guess fifth period is, ends around 2 o'clock. And if you have to be on the ice at 3, you want to be there for 2. Like, I had to shuffle my high school schedule. So that's how I got into the league. Played my first year there. Did all right. And then I went to Halifax Mooseheads camp the next summer. I got invited. Played there. Played some preseason games. At the end of the day, just I got hurt. Didn't work out. Whatever. And then played, like, 2 games. It was in the MJ, the junior league out there. Just... my mom got sick at the time, so just family reasons, came home, joined back with that junior team I was with the year before. That team was, like, juiced.
Was that Bradford Bulls?
No, that was St. George Ravens, my second stint there. Like, that team was, like, 38-3-1 that year.
Wow.
Like, they were, like, we were really good. So joined there, and then...
is that a tuition-free league? You pay to play?
So, yeah, certain guys, like, pay to play. So my first year I paid, and then after that, just because of, like, the resume I had built up from the knowing people kind of thing, I didn't have to pay after that.
Yeah.
So yeah, my first year I paid, and then yeah, I played back there the second year, got traded that summer, just to a team closer to home because it was kind of a commute. If I decided I was going to stay home and play there, I'd rather, like, save some time and, like, not have to drive an hour.
Were you in school at this time?
So this was grade 12. My first year, and then I was first year out of high school, so I wasn't in school because I had moved to Nova Scotia. And then when I got traded to Bradford, would be my second year out of high school. So I wasn't enrolled in school just because of how often I was moving around.
Mm-hmm.
Enrolling to one spot would have kind of really limited, like, my opportunity, I thought, with hockey. And, like, one thing my mom and I always talked about was, like, school's always going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You see 45-year-olds, you see 50-year-olds going 100%. Back to school. Those schools ain't moving. And if they do, just go 10 minutes down the street, you'll find another one. You can only play hockey for so long.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the mindset we had. So my mom's like, if you want to play your hockey out and, like, see what you can do with it, by all means, go have some fun. So
did you have any interest in, like, Canadian college or anything like that, or...
Yeah, so I actually wanted to go to school to do HVAC.
Wow.
Would have been, like, I'm a big trades guy. I like doing hands-on stuff, like, yeah. Back home.
HVAC's a good trade, man.
Yeah, so back home right now, like, I build pools with one of my buddies. Like, he's got a really good company down there, so I was doing that this summer. And I work, like, at a restaurant.
You have to go to school for a while to get HVAC, though. It's not, you know, it's a type of thing where there's some schooling involved in that.
Yeah, it was, like, a 3-year program, I think it was. Yeah, it
takes
a
while.
Yeah, so, I mean, with those trades, though, it's always, like, kind of finicky. Like, you can kind of just jump into it without schooling if you know the right people. So I waited, and I just kind of jumped into doing roofing. So I did that for, like, 4 or 5 years because a buddy of mine's dad, like, he had his own company kind of thing. So I just jumped into that. But being 6'6", it's kind of hard on the back, just leaning over every day. So
tell me a little bit about those opportunities when junior hockey kind of dried up for you. What path were you looking at then?
So I mean, probably with 95% of the people that are, like, around my age with hockey that were still playing, like, COVID kind of kicked in at that point. So that was would have been my last year of junior hockey. So I was really, like, just hoping to God that, like, our season up there didn't get canceled, because everywhere else at the time had gone canceled except the GMHL, which was, like, for me, kind of mint, honestly, because I was like, hey, I don't care what every other league's doing. As long as I can play and, like, I can do well, I can prove, like, that I can play at the next level at this point. So I was like, okay, like, I'm kind of good for now. And then when they shut us down, I was like, well, dang, like, I really got to hope my points and, like, how I've played and, like, as a person I am, like on and off the ice, like helps me
get you identified.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So at the time, that Bradford team, we were in our, I guess it was our second year of affiliation with the Columbus River Dragons of the FBHL.
Really?
Yeah. So like we had connections there. So that kind of honestly was like the move.
So how does that work? You know what? I think I was thinking that we could skip it because we have mentioned the Greater Metro Hockey League a few times on this show in the couple of years we've been doing this. Mm-hmm. But just to kind of remind the audience, this is an overage league, right? They call it.
So you can play till you're 21. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are different opportunities. How does an affiliation? And I'm just not being facetious. I just don't know how an affiliation with a junior team in Canada work with a minor league team in Columbus, Georgia?
So really how they got the connection was Brandon Billy, who's the owner of Bradford. He was coaching at the time when he first picked up the team too. He played in the Fed, actually. He played on Cornwall and it was like a call up to the Brampton Beasts and the ECHL as a goalie.
Yeah, so I remember he knows his name for sure.
Yeah, so he knows like MJ Graham, Jay Krupp, mm-hmm. like all the Columbus guys at the time, because they all played in Cornwall together. And our coach was like Curtis Warren. He was on that Cornwall team for a bit, I believe. So they all kind of knew each other. So they're like, yo, like if you ever need a player, like we'll just take your junior guys from you for a weekend, give them a shot. And then if they suck, we'll just bring them back to you. Like it's no harm for you guys. You're not missing out on anything. It doesn't stop them from like schooling or like eligibility for literally anything, because like Fed was like independent, really. Like that's not like going to stop a lot of guys. Mm. And honestly, like at that time, if you're 21 and you're playing in the G, you're not going D1. Like it's not happening.
Right, right.
So you're either like maybe go looking for D3 if you're lucky, like and you're like really good, or you're looking like overseas, you're looking pro. So like all these guys are like, oh yeah, I'll go play in the Fed. Why not? Like all these young kids. So like as you see now, like there's like quite a few teams that are in the Fed hooked up with like GMHL teams. I don't know how often they're used, to be honest, but like, for example, like I'm from Bradford, I played in Columbus. And then like Noah Doyle plays on Watertown, he played in Columbus. Ryan Hunter, he's there this year. Last year he was Bradford's captain. Mm-hmm. So like there's a few different guys, like Marquise Grant Mentis, he played here for like a weekend, I think.
Yeah,
he was in Bradford, yep. He played in Columbus.
I think he had 2 points in that weekend too.
No, he did.
Yeah, so like, there's a few like different guys there that have all like, that's just from one team, that's just from Bradford, from Brandon Billy doing like a great job at like getting our names out there, that have all like now we're all like full-time players in this league. Like obviously like Marquise is kind of having a tough time, I guess, like just sticking in one spot because he's got a lot on the go, but for the most part, like we're all kind of from like GMHL, like 21 year olds, and then we end up here.
Interesting thing, you played on that Watertown team a few years ago. What was that young kid defenseman who played a couple games with you? Ezekiel or something
Ezekiel
like that.
Ezekiel Thomas?
Yes, yes.
Thomas?
So there were these young kids even getting these opportunities in Watertown. You know what I'm saying? Like this league, I never really recognized it until that Ezekiel Thomas. I never really recognized in the Fed that once in a while there was a guy who played junior hockey that would skip back and forth between the Fed and the juniors.
Yeah, so I mean with Watertown, especially at that time, our coach was Brent Clark. Mm-hmm. He is from Mississauga, where I'm from. Mm-hmm. So, and his dad owns a junior team in Mississauga. Like he's like the GM or like the coach or owner or whatever it is. So right there, like, hey Brent, come take this kid for a weekend. He wants to try out, and you just send us his like this junior kid. And then because of that league, which is like considered the OJHL, Ontario Junior Hockey League, is Junior A. There's like an affiliation right there, and it's the closest team to Toronto. It's 3 hours. So like that's nothing. If kids are like, oh, you get a chance to play pro hockey, you just drive 3 hours, everyone's taking that.
Yeah.
So that's how like a lot, so that's what happened with Thomas there. Like he was just called up to our team. Like he was like, yo, like can I come play? And then gave him a shot. He was there for like, I don't know, let's say 3 weeks maybe.
Yeah.
Cup of coffee, and then he went back home.
Let's see how many games he actually – Zechariah.
That's what it is.
It wasn't Ezekiel. Zechariah. Sorry there, Zeke. Zechariah, who played in 7 games and recorded an assist and had 2 penalty minutes.
I actually lived with him.
Really?
He moved into my house. So me, him, and Lane King, who he just got traded to Motor City's up in the SP.
Lane
right now.
King has been traded.
Yeah, he was on Columbus. We lived together in Watertown, and then when he was going to Columbus, he like called me and he's like, "Yo, come to Columbus." So I went to Columbus with him, and then this year, I guess like some stuff's going on between like him and Columbus, and he asked for a trade.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah, it seemed like there was a lot of movement this season, people kind of unhappy and moving around. It's always kind of revolving doors in this league, but it was interesting to see a trade like Lane King and a move right now to get Dustin Henning to the Danbury Hatricks. That, yeah, these are moves that, you know, I think sometimes that when organizations change, whether it's the coaching staff, which changes just about as often as the ownership does for some teams in this league, I think that, you know, players don't have the same arrangement and it's probably time to move on. Tell us, what kind of led up to you this season coming to Danbury? We know you, did you play?
So I was playing senior, like, A or, like, double A.
So you were just home, huh?
Yeah, so I guess after all, like, the drama went on, like, with me in Columbus this summer, I, like, in September, I was like, oh, whatever, like, I'm just going to go to school. It's about time. Like, I don't got a team now. I got no obligations. Like, I'm just going to enroll in school and just start this. So I was going to go to carpentry school. So I enrolled in that, like, paid my fees and whatever, like, getting ready to go. I was still working at the time, two jobs. So I was like, yeah, like, that's my plans. And it started third week of October.
Wow.
So this was in September. I was like, I don't got a team anymore. Like, whatever. Like, I guess I'm just done playing hockey. I'll just play senior at home, like, with some friends. Because, like, I have a bunch of buddies that were, like, playing on that senior team that I ended up playing on. They're like, we'd love you to come, like, join us. Like, wow. We'll carpool, whatever. So I was going to do that. And then, honestly, like, just beginning of October, like, Columbus, like, texted me, like, out of the blue. And they're like, hey, like, we're just letting you know, like, not that it's going to make a difference. We are, like, letting teams reach out to you now. And I was like, okay, like, it's all good. Like, a week before training camp and the season starts. But, like, that's all cool. So it all just kind of, like, unfolded. Like, Jurich called me one day. And then, like, an hour later, Billy called me. And then, like, an hour later, somebody else. And then, like, just it all kind of unfolded to me at once. And I just told everybody the same thing. I was honest with everybody. I was like, honestly, guys, like, I'm going to school until Christmas. Was like, it was like December 21st was like the last day of school. So I was like, if you trade for me, I'll come after Christmas. Like, whoever owns my rights after Christmas, I'm willing to play for, but I can't play anywhere until after Christmas. Like, I've already got, like, my plan set, and I know, like, with the roster spot moves, like, how it's, like, tight this year. I was like, don't pick me up. Like, let me get released, and then around, like, call me around Christmas and we'll see, like, where I'm at, where you guys are at, and I'm sure we can figure out something. And then, like literally the next day, Billy called me and he goes, so we picked you up.
This schooling you were getting, was that at a traditional college or just more of a trade school?
I guess it's kind of a bit of both. Like, a lot of schools in Canada, like, can kind of, it was college for sure. It wasn't university by any means. I guess they just had a program that, like, specialized in it. I didn't end up going. Wow. Which is, like, the craziest thing. So, like, I enrolled. I was there for, like, a week. Like, we were, like, getting all of our books and everything, like, everything signed up for. And then, like, I got just a random, like, email one day, and, like, they were like, hey, so, like, we had to cancel the program. Like,
come on.
Yeah, like, both the teachers and, like, the program, like, advisory, like, just don't have, like, the funds or whatever within it to,
wow,
to set you guys up. So I was like, well, so I could have came early technically, but I already told everyone I couldn't. I wasn't going to back out.
Could you have played college hockey at that school?
No.
No, huh?
No. So once you go and you play, I could have played, like intramural, like, amongst other people in the school, but, like, people at that age, like, at my age, like, doing that, like, that's not worth anyone's time. It's literally just like beer league kind of thing, but within your school.
But so did they have it? Did they have it like a team, like a varsity team?
So yeah, they do, but like you only play against your own school. So I wouldn't play against anybody else.
Uh-huh.
So they have, like, I guess it's like the college league, but because I'd played pro, I couldn't play that.
Yeah, yeah.
So then I'd have to play it's called intramurals. So, like, they just give you a one color jersey and you play, like, the blue team one day and you're on the red team. And the next week you're on the red team and you play the yellow team. Like, and it's all within your school. So you have, like, 10 guys on the team, I think.
Wow.
And that, like,
that's, I'm surprised because I thought with Canadian college you could go, I mean, I'm pretty sure you can. You can go back, like, even if you were a pro.
So it depends on where you played.
Uh-huh.
So, like, in the OHL, for example, which is, like, the Ontario Hockey League, you can go and enroll in play for U Sports,
right,
and, like, university teams, and it's free because you played in the OHL. Like, your tuition's free.
Wow.
So every year
yes.
play in the OHL, you get one free year of schooling.
Wow.
So if you play in the OHL for 4 years, there's your tuition right there. There's your degree kind of thing.
Wow.
You just pick whatever school you want to go to, and
they pay.
And they pay for it.
Wow.
That's how it works, because you're so busy, obviously, when you're at that time playing major junior with traveling and your schedule.
And they realize that you know, it's interesting, even the guys who play in the OHL, and I'm not saying every single one of them, but I'm sure you catch guys who don't play anymore after the OHL.
No, there's a lot of guys, honestly. Like,
yeah.
play in the NHL, college and hockey. Then boom, done. Yeah.
So tell us, like, you know, Pat and I have watched you for the last few years, but some of the fans that are just getting to know you, you know, how do you describe your game? What's your skill set?
Probably just puck-moving defenseman, honestly. Obviously, I'm 6'6", plus, what, 2.5 inches, let's say, with the skate, 6'8", on the ice, pretty big guy. Honestly, don't play the body too often, which I kind of get hackled for, but I just move the puck, head-up player, defenseman, obviously. Like to try to be better in the D zone this year than I have been in years past. Not off to the greatest start, having missed half the year so far, but looking to build on that. But yeah, I don't know, just fast puck moving defenseman that runs the top on the power play right now.
How much is improving in the defensive zone? How much of that is mental?
I would say pretty much all of it, honestly. Like it's a lot about just keeping your head on a swivel, stick in the right spot. A lot of communication is, like, honestly the biggest thing. It's like I could be standing in the right spot. I could think you're on my left, but you're really not, and I don't say anything, you don't say anything, we're both in the wrong spot now, and then boom, the puck's in the back of your net. So
what's the what's the ultimate goal for you? You've become more or less a full-time player now. Dan Barry wants you back. Sometimes at the beginning, I think in the Fed, guys do bounce around a little bit. We see it with guys who have played in Danbury. What's your ultimate goal? Would you like to get to Europe? Would you like to be in the SB full-time?
Make the NHL. Play for the Toronto Maple Leafs. No, I'm messing around.
There you go.
Honestly,
first,
like,
round pick.
Yeah, that'd be the dream if I wasn't 6 years late already. Just have fun.
Yeah. Huh?
Honestly, like, I'm 24 now. I turned 25 in April. I'm not making the NHL. I want to have fun. I want to have some memories. I want to win some games, win some rings. That's kind of like the main thing for me right now.
Hat tricks are hitting the road this weekend in the bus. And, you know, we always love to ask the players, you know, do you have any great road trip stories, you know, that are clean enough to tell on the airwaves?
I was actually just telling Pat one before he walked, a couple of
Let's
them before
it.
He walked in.
There's some good ones.
There's some wild
Let's
ones.
Let's hear them.
So my first year in Watertown, our bus caught on fire. We did not know. We were driving down the highway on the way back from Port Huron as we got pulled over by the police. They come into our bus as we're all, like, looking out the window being like, what is going on? It's like, oh, so your bus is on fire. Someone driving the other way down the highway called it in saying there's a bus on fire and they're still driving. So they pulled us over in the middle of the winter. They pull us over. Everyone has to evacuate the bus, grab your blankets, your pillows, all your belongings. Through the snow, we walked a mile and a half to the local casino in Rochester.
Come on.
Yeah, at, like, let's say 2 p.m. We're still 3 hours out of Watertown, 3.5. We're chilling in the casino for 3 hours. We're all playing games. And
there was a game that night?
No, we were on our way back from Port Huron. So we'd already played, like, our two games that weekend. We were on our way back.
So not so bad.
So it wasn't, like, the worst thing. But, like, we didn't have a way home. Like, there was no way home. So we had to call, like, the booster club people and, like, our girlfriends and stuff. And people had to, like, drive 3 hours out to come pick us up at a casino, which by this point, we were already 3 hours there. So we were hammered, all of us.
And this is when the Binghamton owner owned the team.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, shout out Andreas Johansson for that one. Maybe don't let our bus catch on fire next time. No, I'm joking. He's such a nice guy. But yeah, no, just, like, funny story there. And then, like, van, like, we had to drive vans sometimes, like, because we didn't have a bus, because, like, obviously us and Bingo shared a bus. So we drive vans, like, just guys getting speeding tickets and, like, just, like, doing stupid things in the van. Like, shout out van number one, like, me and a couple of guys that still play in the league, like, we had our own little van there and we'd play, like, stupid music the whole time and annoy people. That was pretty fun. And then, like, our bus bottomed out in Carolina in the middle of the playoffs. Had to push our game back a day because of it, because we had no way back home after game. So we, like, drove down there for game one, got a flat tire, kept driving with the flat tire, got to, like, a hotel. Hotel was full of bed bugs.
Oh.
Woke up the next day because they said, like, we're going to stay the night. We're going to get a new tire in the morning. We're going to be good. We're going to get down there. We're leaving a day early. We did not get that tire fixed. We kept driving without. We just moved one of the tires to another spot, missing a tire. Drove another 4 hours to Carolina. got down there. Got to the hotel for our game. morning skate, everything's fine. We get back to the hotel, we all put like our business casual on. We go to Dunkin' Donuts. As we're, some guys, like, you guys have been to Carolina, like, it's, the hotel is right across the street from the rink.
Yeah.
Some guys are like, no, we're going to hop on the bus, we're going to go to Dunkin' Donuts. I'm an idiot. I get on the bus. I don't even drink coffee. I get on the bus to go to Dunkin' Donuts, which is like the complete opposite way of the rink. As we're pulling out of Dunkin' Donuts, right in front of the police station, our bus bottoms out and blocks all the traffic. Bottoms out. We couldn't move it. The back wheels ran off the ground. We had to order Ubers right in front of this police station. So we had Ryan Devine standing in the middle of the road. You know
Vine. Devine? Yeah, yeah, we know Viner. Vine.
We had Viner standing in the middle of the road directing traffic with all of his like bag, like his bags on his back and like his blanket
he
and stuff.
He would be good at that.
Yeah, directing traffic. We're like trying to push this bus like – like 10 of us, bus isn't moving an inch, like just idiots. We were late for the game, like 10 of us. We like got there 10 minutes before warm up by the time the Ubers got there, and we figured everything out. So we were supposed to play the next day, didn't obviously, we didn't have a bus. So we got a bunch of like Enterprise rent-a-cars, drove back, I got a sunburn, another guy got like 110 and like a 65 like speeding ticket, like just crazy. And then we played that night, and then like we go to the finals versus Columbus. We like we fly down there instead of busing because obviously we don't have a bus now. We fly down there. Everything's fine. We lose the first game, whatever. We go to fly back the next day, and all of our schedule, like all of our flights are changed. Like everyone's on a different flight throughout the whole day. So we get to the airport at 9 a.m. The first flight is at 11. Like seven guys get on that. So there's seven guys. And then like we're all sitting there still. And then at 3 o'clock, they're like, okay, we'll take the rest of you. So we all like go and sit in like the baggage line getting ready to leave. They're like, actually, we can only take 10 of you guys. So then, like, draw straws. So obviously, I'm a rookie. I'm like, no, you're waiting. So I wait. So Lechetko waits. And then Justin Coachman, we needed a vet with us. She didn't trust us, which I wouldn't either at that point.
Right.
Stayed back. And then they were like, yeah, you're you guys are going to be on the 10:30 p.m. flight. We've been at the airport since 9 a.m. and we're in the middle of the playoffs. So we're like, okay, well, we're not going to make it back for the game tonight. Tough. So like, the league had to like change the schedule. So we played the next like afternoon instead. So we get back, we like fly back in. I like, we leave, I guess, Atlanta at 10:30, like 11 pretty much. We get back to New York, Syracuse at around like midnight. My girlfriend at the time had to like drive to Syracuse. She didn't organize a ride for us to get back from the airport to the rink. So my girlfriend had to like come pick us up at 1 a.m. from the airport, drive us back to Watertown, which is like another hour, so 2 o'clock.
Oh my goodness.
We had video at like 8:30 or 9 a.m. So we get to the rink. We're all like, me and these two guys are sleeping in the room. We're like exhausted. And then we played it like in the afternoon that day. It was horrible. We won that game. And then the next night, we had, like, the finals, and it's, like, the longest game in FBHL history, of course. It was, like, 3 overtimes.
Oh, my goodness.
So, like, we were falling asleep, like, in the dressing room between overtimes. Like, everyone was exhausted. So, a lot of travel. That was just 1 year, too. I was like, holy smokes, this is unbelievable.
Do you remember watching that game, man?
You might not get paid a lot. You might not have a lot of gitch.
No, it was tough.
But you got some good stories.
You get some crazy stories.
100%.
That was just in 1 year. I was like, oh, my goodness.
Did you watch that game? Do you remember watching that fucking long ass game?
When was that?
It was like 5 hours.
It was the final game. It was like what? So April-ish, right?
Yeah. No, it was May. Okay. Like so May 8th, 2 years ago. Watertown versus Columbus in Watertown.
Oh, yes.
In
Watertown. Yes.
Game three of the finals.
The game that never ended.
Literally never ended.
What about the game that started at like midnight that
year? That was also on Watertown versus you guys here in
Danbury. Danbury couldn't get up there.
Your guys' bus broke down twice that day.
We've already had Pat. I don't know if Pat was on that trip.
No.
Were you on that trip?
Anything in the 21-22, I wasn't on.
No, last year. Were you on that trip last year where we had to leave the bus? I was there. We had to leave the bus running overnight.
Yeah, this is all you in Watertown, yep.
So that if it turned off.
Oh, I did hear about this.
It would come back on.
I did hear about this.
We left the bus running overnight. It was really amazing. Shout out to Pete, the bus driver, who's an absolute beautician.
Weapon. He's a weapon.
He's an absolute beautician of a minor league, you know, wheel man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Like I said, you know, and you know, this is going to come off soft or whatever. You know, sometimes that's why it's really hard for me to kind of go along with a lot of these stupid things that get posted online. Like, dude, you guys are playing for it's literally the Four Peanuts Hockey League. And you guys are walking a mile and a half in the snow so that people in Watertown, New York, and other places can see a game. You know, and I really don't, you know, listen, poking a little fun and even a creative sign at a game. But, like, yeah, I just think that these guys are worth a little more respect than that. This is, Like, listen, you could be working in a war zone. You could be trying to build a building at some crazy high altitude, you know, elevation or something like that. This does a, you know, one thing I can say, this does not seem to be the easiest job to me. I'm not going to say it's hard. I'm not going to say that playing hockey is rougher than being a corrections officer or even cleaning up roadkill, because that could be probably dangerous. You know what I'm saying? And doing anything like that. These are all tough, hard jobs. Nobody wants to do them. But you guys endure a lot in this league. I mean, some of the stuff that we've heard on and off the air is it makes me appreciate when you guys have a really good game more.
Yeah, you know? And I mean, a big thing, too, about it is, like, think about where these teams are located. So Danbury, Connecticut, Watertown, New York, Columbus, Georgia, wherever else you want to say, like Port Huron, or say Motor City, Withville or whatever it's called, Baton Rouge, Mississippi Coliseum. Those aren't big spots. If we're not there, what are you guys doing? What are you guys doing for fun on a Saturday night? What are you guys doing for fun on a Friday night? You're not doing a lot. So, like, maybe cut some slack. Like, we're literally entertaining you guys. And I know, like, you guys are paying, like, season tickets and you're paying your admission and it's, like, a two-way street. But, like, imagine if there was no hockey, how bored you guys would be.
100%.
It would suck. And, like, if I lived there, like, I would be so bored. Like, in a lot of those spots, those aren't big spots. There's not a lot to do. So, like, you guys, like, not you guys, obviously, but people, like, sometimes you are a little hard on, like, certain players. Like, maybe they don't have a good night, but, like, remember what they're, like, what do you think they're going through? They're not, like, living in, like, Toronto or, like, Montreal or New York City.
You're far from family.
You're far from family, your girlfriends, your wives,
some
kids.
Some guys don't have cars here.
Like, most guys don't have cars here. Like, people go through a lot to put on, like to play those games every weekend. And, like, it's not – we're not making lots of money. We're not making thousands of dollars a week. It's nothing like that. Like, we live in a hotel.
Not only that, like, yeah, right. Like
that's nuts.
Like you said, not like, think about how hard it is for a guy who's new here. I mean, there's the boys. There's always the boys, right?
Yeah, of course.
But at the same time, it's like, what if you just wanted to go to the mall and have lunch by yourself just because you were in that type of a mood? It might, yeah. You know, if you don't have a car here, you're assed out. You know what I mean? Yeah, pretty much, you know?
Yeah, it is tough, like, in aspects like that. But, I mean, at the end of the day, like, it is what we sign up for. Like, it is, like, yeah. No one's forcing our hand to come play here.
No.
And I love every minute of it. I love being here. I love playing hockey. I love the fans. I love all the communities. Like, it's awesome. Don't get me wrong. But, like, sometimes, like, certain guys, I'm not saying me, but certain guys, like, do get a lot of slack for, like, certain things. And it is, like, sometimes tough to see because, like, I don't think a lot of it's warranted. But, like, it is part of the game.
Yeah, I mean, it really definitely feels like that. How – you know, you're from Toronto, and hey, do your folks, do they get to come down here?
So it's just my mom and I. Uh-huh. And my mom hasn't seen me play in person in like five years, but she watches every game online, and she's honest. Like, if I suck, she's gonna tell me, and that was not your best game, you were horrible. So she definitely keeps me honest, and I love her every day for it. She's the best. She's like my number one fan by
no
all
siblings.
Means kind of thing. Just my mom and I.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, my dad passed away before I was born, so my mom and I just like stuck together kind of ever since, kind of thing. Yeah, and I love her to death, but yeah, she definitely keeps me honest. If I play shit, she's not gonna let me know. Like, she's not gonna like say it lightly. I like, oh, like, you could have played better. Like, what the hell were you doing out there tonight?
What's your mother's name?
Monique.
Shout out to Monique.
Big shout out.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, she's the best. She's the best for sure.
So tell us just a little bit about, you know, we're going into Carolina this weekend. What's the mood been in practice? We picked up a new player in Dustin Henning. It looks like Jared Yao is ready to go again. It looks like, obviously, Zach Pamilion played last weekend, so he's off the IR. What's the mood in practice, and what anything you want to talk about maybe that you guys discussed?
That every point, honestly, like, moving forward matters. Like, obviously, we don't make the schedule. Like, we don't want to play Binghamton 18 times. Like, one, it's not, like, it's not fun anymore playing them because you play them so often and it's, like, just kind of stale. But Carolina is definitely a team. Like, obviously, like, Danbury played them last year in the playoffs. It's kind of like a grudge match. I heard they were here earlier this year and you guys, like, split the games or whatever. But, like, that's not the mindset. Like, 1-1 every weekend, like, isn't good enough anymore. Like, we got to start climbing. We want to have home ice advantage in the playoffs just as bad as everybody else. And I think, honestly, we deserve it more than other teams by the way we've been playing. So, We're going in there. We want 6 points. Anything less than that is like just kind of unacceptable on our part, and we know that. We're going to hold ourselves accountable. We're playing for Ratcliffe this weekend. He's not going to be with us, but he's a warrior, and we're out there for him for sure.
It sounds like Jacob Ratcliffe had an upper body injury that he'll be recovering from for a while. We wish him the best. He's a great guest on the show and a great guy. So, Ratty, we're thinking of you.
You know, kind of going with that, I want to ask if there's any travel stories from the Columbus days. Kind of wanted to get into that a little bit.
The Columbus days. Honestly, like, Columbus is, like, just like top-notch organization. Not really a lot, like, too bad to say there with, like, the travel and stuff because I had, like, the sleeper bus. We had, like, ants on the bus one day.
Okay.
And I have no idea. Well, I do have an idea. Cody Rogers, who plays on Elmira, he says it's not him, but we all know it was him. He had food in his bunk, and he left it there overnight, like, for, like, a week. Ritz crackers or something. Ooh. And, like, we get on the bus the next road trip, and we, like, traveled to Mississippi, I think it was. And we didn't know there was ants or anything on it, like, kind of thing. And, like, halfway there, like, just over halfway there, like, Jacob Kelly, who was on our team last year, like, MVP rookie or whatever it was, he's like, I'm so itchy, and like jumps out of his bunk and like is covered in ants.
No way.
Like when I say ants, dude, I'm talking like this table would be full of them. Like,
oh, my goodness.
This was literally the color of like underneath the, but you can't see it on the like in the bus because the bus is like a beige color, like the seat or like the pads you lay across, mm-hmm. where like he was, and they were underneath it. So like when you get on there, you think like, because we leave like our blankets and our pillows whenever on the bus, like you're not thinking like, let me check underneath my mat that I lay on every single road trip. So he didn't check, and like he lifts this up and just like thousands of ants on the bus, and we were like, holy shit. So we pulled the bus over at like a gas, like I forget what the gas stations are called down there. Pulled the bus over at a gas station. It might have been Sheets actually. And we grabbed
Sheets on this show.
We grabbed like some like anti-bug spray, and we just started spraying the shit out of the back of the bus. Like, there were so many of them. We were like, what do we do? Like, do we try to sweep them off the bus, or like where did they start? And like, we just see like a little pack of Ritz crackers, and like the whole bus for like an hour and a half smelled like this spray because we had to keep going. We had a game that day.
Yeah.
But there were so many ants, and it was like ridiculous. That would probably honestly be the only one. And other times, like sometimes like the AC wouldn't work. So like the back of the bus would be like 10,000 degrees.
Oh, the heat from the back of the bus is rough.
Yeah, and that's where we all stayed. Yeah, so like it was like there was 27 bunks in the back. No, three. Yeah, 27 bunks in the back, and then like four or so in the front. So like the back of the bus was like just like, I guess it was like 18 in the back and then whatever. But like if it was, we were all back there and like it was no AC, like because there's no windows, obviously. It's all like it's all beds. Hey. It smells horrible, and it's so hot back there. Like people are we're trying to open like the emergency hatch, like prop it open with waters, and it's raining out. We're like dying, trying to drown ourselves, kind of thing. But it was pretty fun. And honestly, for the most part, we had really good travel. There wasn't really too many complaints there.
And then ants aside, what's your go-to gas station snack?
You're getting off the bus, you're real hungry, what are you coming out with from Sheets or you know, any place like that?
Sweet Tarts.
Ooh.
Oh.
By far, trademark this right now, you guys can clip
it. You mean the
it.
Sugary
you
candy?
Can, you can clip it and ship it. Sweet Tarts are the best candy in the
world. Clip it and ship clip it, and he said.
That. Yeah, that is the by far the best candy. There's really nothing that even compares to it. Anybody that says anything else is wrong.
Do you go for any pop or a pizza or sandwich or nothing?
No, just water. Water and Sweet Tarts, honestly, is kind of like the move for the most part.
That's why the guy's a tall rail, right? Yeah. The string bean of a guy.
That's why I weigh 115 pounds and my gear soaking wet. But, I mean, if we're getting, like, actual food, obviously, I'll get something. But, like, as, like, a snack, like, I'm getting Sweet Tarts 100% of the time.
Well, so what would you rather have? Would you rather have, like, we on this team, you know, I don't know if we've stopped at Chipotle with this team.
Yeah, yeah. We do.
We definitely do.
We do now?
Yeah, yeah.
I've only really stopped. Well, Billy actually found us some crazy Italian restaurant one time. I think it was at Elmira, where you guys got left back. It had to be Elmira, right? You guys got left back at the hotel.
Yeah.
We went, but Jersey Mike's or Chipotle?
I've had Jersey Mike's like once, I think. So I'm going to go with Chipotle. And honestly, I probably would have went with Chipotle anyways. I like it a lot.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah. It's a pretty good option.
I think that's kind of like a staple, honestly. Like most teams will stop at Chipotle. Because like in Watertown, like it was always Chipotle. In Columbus, it was always Chipotle. And now this team.
It's the easiest way to get your protein and all that stuff.
It's not like crazy expensive. You kind of know what you're going to get every time. And it's like, honestly, it's pretty quick. Because like, it's kind of different, like, aspect. Like, this year, like, we don't eat at the restaurant. Like, we'll eat on the bus, which is fine, I guess, because, like, they clean the bus out every time. Like, kind of, like, it's whatever. But most teams, like, you stay at the restaurant and eat. So, like, it's kind of, like, it's a different aspect.
That's what we did last year.
Yeah. We did some of that. When we tagged along, we did some of that. A couple different restaurants. But, yeah, we kept moving from Jersey Mike's that one time, and we kept moving from, well, you know, Dave, when Dave McIsaac was the coach, he loved going to the Olive Garden. You know what I mean?
That was a Columbus thing. We did OG. That a couple times as well.
You know, he there's definitely a few courses there that we went through. but tell us, you know, I don't know what I really don't know what to say at this point because we talked about the games this weekend, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. What do you want to add?
You're just blanking out right now?
I am, dude. I've been talking for 38 minutes, which is not that long for me.
I was going to say, you teach a whole class here.
Yes.
At the lovely Western Connecticut State University. Lovely. This is too much?
Lovely campus.
Lovely campus, yeah.
I'm glad to know I have you speechless here.
No, it's really it's really something. The guy, he's covered all aspects. He's got he's opinionated about things. We get guys on here that don't have many opinions. You know what I mean? What's wrong with the Leafs?
What do you mean, what's wrong with the Leafs? They're the best team in the league.
Definitely.
And we're going to win the Cup this year. This is our year.
Why is it different this year?
Matthews has 40 goals in 46 games. Have you ever held a stick that hot? It'd probably burn your fingers off. He is on fire. We need a goalie. We really need a goalie. Our goalies suck. Our D are not bad, but we're going to win the Cup.
Bold prediction. One that's been made before, I think, by one.
I've never heard about it. But
Danbury Hattrick's head coach.
I like him already. Sounds like my kind of guy.
Oh, man. Josh, thank you for coming
on the
show.
Thank you for joining us. This was great.
Just got to ask, anything you want to tell the fans going into this road trip?
Stay tuned for some good hockey this weekend. Thank you, everyone, for your support. We even if you're not on the road with us and you're just watching online or anything like that, like, we see what you guys say on social media, even if you're being mean to us. But we appreciate it all. Even the banter is like fun. We're playing for you guys. We're playing for this town, and we're looking forward to being back here next Saturday.
Awesome. Thank you again, man.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.